glad to be here. So I'm reading from, we are continuing. This is our last Sunday on Grace Upon Grace. And so this scripture is the Titus scripture. And so it says, "For the grace of God that brings us salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." And so we're still talking about grace upon grace. And y'all, this is part 7 of this journey. It's a journey now. I think it's an odyssey. Spiritual beings having a human experience. Grace upon grace. Grace for the journey. And that's what we're talking about today. Grace for the journey. And I want to remind y'all of what grace is for me. And grace is God's reconciling, appreciation, compassionate care, and empowerment towards us. God's reconciling, appreciation, compassionate care, and empowerment towards us. And I like it when they give me acronyms. They talk to me in acronyms. So GRACE is one. Another one is TAG, Thanksgiving, Appreciation, and Gratitude. And how many cat lovers do we have in here? Surely I'm not the only. Knuckle up. I'm a cat person. Didn't used to be, but I'm a cat person. And cat means Christ always triumphs. Christ always triumphs. Dog people. Dogs. Yep, dogs. Dogs, or a dog. If you are a dog person, a dog means always depend on God. Always depend on God. And so today we're talking about his grace. And the acronym, I already told you, God's reconciling, appreciation. Never thought about God being appreciative of me. But I finally began to understand when God gazes upon us. Just like whenever you look at your own kids, especially when they were babies, or just you look at your child. I'm sure you understand, Miss Martha. See your baby girl up here. You look at them, you just, your heart bubbles up. And I never realized that that was how God looks at us, each and every one of us, with appreciation and compassionate care. And that is what empowers us to do the same thing for others, and especially ourselves. So today, the focus is going to be more about that internal, that intimate personal relationship with God, and how do we do it. Now, dictionary says that grace is goodwill, favor. It's a disposition to show mercy. It's aid from God in the process of regeneration. Another word we're going to start using for process regeneration is spiritual maturity, spiritual growth. And so, just like our bodies, it regenerates hair, it regenerates skin. You know, it regenerates if we catch a cold. Our body is regenerating to heal itself. Our hair grows, all of these type of things. That's physical regeneration. But spiritual regeneration, it happens almost subconsciously, just like our hair and all other body parts. But we get to have a conscious participation in it. And that's what makes grace so awesome. And that's what makes grace a personal experience on the one hand. And Ephesians 2 tells us that it's by grace that we have been saved. And it's because of God's reconciling grace towards us that we are empowered to express that same compassionate care, and we're able to be gracious towards ourselves as well as others. So one of my life goals or my mission vision statement is to journey with God's people and developing a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. And to me, that's what that process of regeneration and becoming spiritually mature is like. So how do we get grace upon grace upon grace? It does start with what Jesus said. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbors as yourself. That's the beginning. And I know there were times that I put others before me. And so I was spending more time on trying to figure out how to love God and doing so much for others, for neighbors, that I often forgot myself. Anybody who's struggled with depression, low self-esteem, feelings of self-worth, that is what getting those neighbors ahead of you, giving too much to others without thinking about ourselves. But now the Holy Spirit say, live your life like you're on the airplane and you're in the emergency seat. Put the oxygen on your face first. That's what they tell you, isn't it? When you're on the plane, put the oxygen on your face first. And that way, whenever we take care of ourselves first, it is an intimate act of love towards God. Because if I don't know how to love God and I don't know how to love myself, I'm going to be in some conflict with how to love others. So today we're going to talk a little bit more about what this looked like. And it is a journey. Being spiritual beings, having a human experience, my friend, is a journey, a fantastic voyage. And the journey is an act of traveling from one place to another, a travel or passage from one place to another, or the journey from youth to maturity. I'm going to say different stages of life, because I'm telling you, it has been a different journey from youth through puberty. Thank God that's gone. Then get to adolescence, those, you know, 18 to 20. And then you have to figure out what you're going to do after 21 because you're fully legal and you can do pretty much whatever. Then you get to 30. Then they try to convince you, pump your brakes or whatever. It's all downhill from there. It's not. Then you get to 40. Weight don't drop off. I'm here to witness for people like her. Weight does not drop. And then you hit 50, and it's like you get a second wind. You go ahead and you do whatever you got to do, and you don't care that all your hair is gray right here and it's only dark underneath. Just like nobody can really see all of these things. But when that's what makes life journey kind of cool. We see those places where we've grown. But what do we see? What do we do about making ourselves more aware? How can we be more aware to be spiritually conscious on this journey? I remember when I got baptized, I waited. Actually, I thought I'd already been baptized, only to find out that I was christened. So I just got baptized in December 1999. Just for the clock flip. Just in case, you know, 2000 party over, oops, out of time. I'm like, well, just to be sure, Jesus. So got baptized, and I'm glad because I remember that. And it was such, that was a pivotal point in my spiritual journey. I remember being very active in church, but where I was when I was young, singing and being a worship leader, choir director, and where I am now, ooh, I feel like Kurt Franklin, Dallas-Fort Worth Mass. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus makes me love him more and more. I don't even worry about my friends forsaking me because I learned to pray for divine counterparts. I learned to pray for divine friends, divine positions, divine everything. And that's what happens. We see the journey changing. So my question for us today, spiritual beings having a human experience, how can we be empowered on our spiritual journeys? One way is ask the Holy Spirit to increase our intimacy. I'm sure you all have spiritual practices, praying, reading devotion. You have your special time with God, coming out to the Bible studies. Different people have different ways of how they strengthen themselves for the journey. And today, I'm going to talk about one that is directly from the Holy Spirit. And one of them is allowing Jesus to wash our feet. Now, I'm talking about spiritual intimacy and closeness with God, a spiritual practice that we can include. Allow Jesus to wash our feet. I know generally we think about foot washing at Easter. Once a year and kind of done. And this year, well, they just wouldn't let it go, you know. I just kept thinking about foot washing, and they finally showed me why I was thinking about foot washing. And that is because of what Jesus shares with his disciples. Listen to this. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around himself. After that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And Jesus answered, Peter did not want him to just wash his feet. Peter wanted to wash his whole body. But Jesus said, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. You are clean, though not all of you. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put his clothes on and returned to his place and asked, do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now, that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now, what does foot washing have to do with grace and our journey? And this is what came to me. How do we get from where we're going? We generally walk. I mean, you know, we drive our cars, automobiles, but we have to walk to get in the car. We use our feet to press the gas. And so as a spiritual practice, this is one that is truly a divine way to be intimate. What Jesus told Peter is, you're already washed. Think about it. We all wash in some way, but we have to get to where we're going. In other words, to bring it closer to home, we walk up and down the trails, the roads, the path of life. And like the disciples and Jesus back in that time, our feet get dirty. Feet get dirty with anxiety, depression, concerns, worry, anger, resentment, bitterness. All kind of stuff can dirty your feet. So what Jesus said was, everything else is clean. Think about it. We are conscious about our face, our hands. Well, with mani-pedis, we're a little bit more conscientious as women about our feet. But before the rage of mani-pedis, I didn't pay that much attention to my feet. And then the Holy Spirit says, why not? You can't get anywhere without them. I mean, you can, but you can't. And I was like, this scripture became so real for me. And so what they had me to do is to invite us to participate in a personal foot washing. Now, what does that look like for us? Meditation, prayer, silence, all of these, communion, baptisms, these are spiritual practices. Some people take communion every day. And the one thing, like I said, that I rarely, and I don't want to say we on this, that I rarely think of is foot washing. Until they took me down that road and showed me what it meant. So we're already kind of relaxed. Now, I don't want y'all to let me put you all the way to sleep with my soothing voice, but this is what we're going to do. I want you to just relax for a minute. Take some deep breaths. Close your eyes. And just breathe in. Now, this is what I call a guided meditation. Imagine yourself, you've had a long day. You've gone up the highways and the byways. You've been to work. You've been here, there, and the other. And you're sitting on the side of your bed at the end of the day. And you are really tired. Maybe indifferent, sad, grieving, different, whatever you're feeling, just sitting on the side of your bed. And you're just relaxing there, sitting on the side of your bed. And your door opens to your bedroom. And in walks Jesus. A bright light just shining around him. And he walks in holding a basin, a pitcher, and a towel. And he comes up to you and he smiles at you and says to you, you are my child. In whom I am well pleased, let me wash your feet. And so he kneels down in front of you. Your shoes and everything are already off because you're sitting on the side of the bed getting ready to go to sleep. And you imagine Jesus with his love, his compassion, his grace, his mercy. And he kneels down in front of you. And he takes your left foot. And he massages it. And he's sitting there with a big smile on his face, just rubbing the tiredness, the achiness out of your feet, your left foot. And then he pours some nicely tempered, warmish, cool water. Not too cold, not too hot, but it's just right for your body temperature. And he pours the water over your foot, and he just rubs the water around on your top part of your foot, goes up a little bit above your ankle, and he just smooths that water around. And he continues to just massage your foot. And he takes the towel and he dries off your left foot. And then he moves over to the right and he does the same thing. He lifts your right foot into his hand and he rubs it and he massages it and he takes his pitcher. And he gently pours the water over your feet. And he washes away all the aches, all the hurt, all the pain, all the disappointment. And again, he goes up and down your foot and around your ankle and around your heel. And he's just taking his time slowly, just washing your feet, letting you know how much he cares about you, how much he loves you, and how in this moment he has blessed your feet with grace for the journey. And so he dries the right foot off very gently, warmly, compassionately. Sit back down onto the floor. And then slowly, he starts to rise. He moves the basin over towards the door just a little bit. And he sits down, the basin and the tub and the towel. And just imagine he has both his hands on your shoulder, one on the right shoulder, one on the left shoulder. And the bright light of Christ is shining, shining, shining down on you from the top of your head, over your forehead, through your eyes, your nasal passage, your mouth, down your throat, all the way down through each of your lungs. And that light just keeps traveling down past your abdominal area, on down past your pelvis, your thighs, your knees, and your ankle. You are absorbed in Jesus, the light of the world. And he looks into your eyes and he says, my sweet daughter, my sweet son, you are my beloved in whom I am well pleased. I love you. Court is adjourned. The verdict is in. My love was shed and poured out for you. And I cover you with my bright light of love to strengthen you. And he looks in your eyes and he puts his forehead on your forehead and he squeezes your shoulders. And he looks deep in your eyes and he smiles. And then he turns away, picking up the basin, the pitcher, the towel, and he walks toward your bedroom door. And he opens it, and just before he walks out, he looks back, bright light shining all around him and now you. And he smiles, and he nods at you as to say, okay. And you nod back. And he walks out the door and he closes it. that is what it's like for us to just imagine whatever you've been going through, whatever you've been experiencing. Jesus is saying, come, let me wash your feet. Can you imagine having a moment like that with Christ? Inviting you into personal intimacy and closeness with Him. Letting you know He knows all there is to know about you. And all He is looking for is an opportunity to just grow closer, grow more intimate, grow more personal. And that is the beauty of grace in action. Grace in action is our process of spiritual maturities, ways that we become closer, more intimate with our Father, Elder Brother, and the Holy Spirit. And to touch on Titus, and that is why we are empowered to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we can live a sober and righteous and godly life in this present world. You have a moment? Just imagine. You don't have to wait till the end of the day. Just get somewhere quiet, peaceful, and just imagine Jesus washing your feet, strengthening you for that journey. And that's why it tells us, that's why we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto Himself a peculiar people. You're a peculiar person if you're looking at Jesus to wash all the cares away. But you can allow foot washing, personal foot washing, to be something that you can do at night before you go to sleep, and how you can begin or end your day, because it's an intimate thing. And we need all the grace upon grace upon grace that we can use for this journey. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm just ask you to sit there quietly. And if you have something in your heart, if you close your eyes again, if something's in your heart, just lift your hand. If you want to just, your hands being raised, that'll let me know to take a few more minutes with the silence. But just remember, He's there waiting for us in our prayer and meditation, in our Bible reading. But what can strengthen us? Imagine Him washing your feet. Something personal. You don't even have to tell anybody you're doing it. And right now, I invite anybody who feels like they need a personal foot washing just to lift your hands. And we can hang out together a little bit while longer. And as we head towards the closing, I just want to invite you all to remember what grace upon grace offers us. This is our journey, and it is for life. I know sometimes we hear that it's hard. Let Him wash your feet. Don't nothing feel better than having your feet fixed. Just feel Him there. Slow down and
be still. I think that's why I like to get quiet and breathe. Be still and know God is God. And it is there. John 1:16 tells us, it is out of his fullness that we have all received grace in place of grace already given. And it's from Christ's abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For it is from Christ's fullness we have received grace upon grace, upon grace. And so as we leave this place, feet washed, heart light, joy filled, feeling just, yeah, peace which surpasses all understanding, remember your feet, because that's how we travel on this journey. For it is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen.